We are back, and on this episode, we got some hot topics, new releases is back, Copper Drop is back, and the heat on the feet. Episode 71, on the way.
What is up? Can you believe it? The boys are back. Welcome to episode 71 of the Sneaks and Stats podcast. I am the Statty Daddy.
And I am Sneaker Peter. Hello, everybody. We missed you.
It's been a long, cold fall without you guys.
Big time.
But we're happy to be back, man. It's been a long time. I was super excited for today, so I'm hoping we can get it. It's been on me, but I'm hoping we can get it more consistent. I would be very
Stop
excited.
It.
Okay, it's been EJ's fault. I lied.
I didn't say take all of it. 71. Episode 71. Can't believe we got this far.
I know, man. I was looking back. I'm like, dude, episode 70 was the last episode?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Taking us a little longer to get to 100, but, you know.
We're getting there.
We never.
We're not going to stop, baby.
We're not going to stop. Exactly. If you're new to the channel, please hit that subscribe button down low. Please like and comment our videos.
Yes.
Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Threads, X, and TikTok.
Those
Sorry,
are the ones.
It's been 10 weeks, I believe.
It's been at least 10 weeks. Yeah,
we checked it. A lot of stuff has gone down in the sports world in these last couple months. Huge things have happened.
We've missed a lot. We've been enjoying a lot.
As well as you guys. We missed you guys as well. Jason.
Matt.
But where should we start? I guess, you know, let's start off with our boys. You know, the boys in blue. The boys in blue. The Dodgers.
I had at home today. My $70 Dodger Stadium.
The Dodgers won the World Series for back-to-back champions. It was a great, stressful week of the World Series. if you were a Toronto fan or a Dodger fan, really, that was probably what people are saying was the best World Series of all time.
I mean, it's got to be up there, man. Seven games. Its last game went to extras.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, up there with the one of the Red Sox-Yankee series where Dave Roberts stole the base and they were down 3-1 and came back.
That's
ALCS. That's up there, too. But, yeah, we had benches clearing, game seven, the game three, 18 innings. You know, Freddie hitting another walk-off home run.
I could not believe it was Freddie again.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We were together with that with a couple of friends for game three and, you know, just kind of reliving that series. And we were just like, you should probably go home.
Maybe
now.
At 11 we'll go.
But we were able to get, you know. We were able to watch it all.
You dropped me off and then I ran in, finished the game. And then before you even got home, you called me. Because they won as you were getting home.
Yeah. Yeah, so we it was, you know, close to midnight. You know, I had work the next day, but it was just an amazing series. You know, heroes were born, I think, you know, with Miguel Rojas.
Mickey Rowe.
You know,
Yamamoto.
Yamamoto is the new king of LA,
I would say,
you know, along with like Luka and all these stars of LA, and just kind of like built an awesome career already in the first 2 years that they got here. You know, Yamamoto and Shohei, you know, just got to LA in the last 2 years and they won two championships. It was just you don't see that ever.
So crazy that Shohei, like, it's like, it's hard not to pile on the Angels. I don't really want to necessarily, but like, it's crazy that his first two postseasons. And he hasn't been the sole contributor to the championship, obviously. But, like, first two postseasons of Shohei's career, championships. And the Angels had 5 years, 6 years of just completely fumbling it. Not a single playoff appearance.
And you also have Mike Trout.
And Mike Trout.
And it's almost like saying you're in the NBA and there's no playoffs without, you know, LeBron or Joker or the best players.
Yeah.
You know, and you just don't see them. And it's a shame. And we've been blessed these last 2 years that we get to see that, and also they're on the team that we like.
so there is that.
There is the, yeah.
No complaints.
And, you know, the success is just transferring and going through all the whole organization now. So now that they've won, Walter joins the Lakers.
Yep. Which we have talked about.
Yes. And the news came out that Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi, who he used to work with on the Dodgers, are now executives for the Lakers. How do you... Do you think that they can bring that type of success also back to basketball and to Lakers?
I do think there has been this sentiment brewing amongst Laker fans and like real NBA nerds that the Buss family, since Dr. Buss has passed, has been not messing up, but just kind of a mess. I mean, you've seen it even in that, I don't know, I think you watched that 10-part Lakers documentary, right? And they allude a lot to the fact that family is very dysfunctional. So even though we've won since Dr. Buss has passed, and like we've had LeBron come in and AD and now Luka, like we've had these great players come to the Lakers, I do think that it was time to change things up.
Yeah.
So I do think that Friedman in particular is probably the guy that will help guide the Lakers. I do think he's probably going to be focusing on baseball, you know, 9 months out of the year. But I mean, if we can pull something off like the Dodgers have, where they can bring in talent that people maybe didn't know was talented before, you know, like Max Muncy, for example, that would be great for the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers just need an injection of young talent.
Yeah.
So
a good start with Luka.
Luka is obviously a great start, great building block for the next like 10 years, hopefully. So I do think Friedman will. From what I could tell, you know, he's like an executive advisor. So I don't think he's going to be like the GM making trades and this and that. I think Pelinka has done a pretty good job. I feel like a lot of the times he gets pushed into a direction like. Never been confirmed, but I feel like LeBron made it clear he wanted Russell Westbrook on the team, and so. You know, Pelinka had to make lemonade from lemons, and I think he's done a very good job. I do think that, you know, the Lakers just fired Jesse Buss and I can't think of the other Buss player's name.
No, not Jerry. The dad.
They did not fire Jerry
Buss. Jerry Jr.? But the two brothers.
Yeah, the two brothers, Joey and Jesse.
That's right.
Who, to my knowledge, which, you know, a lot of the insider, like, executive stuff of the teams, it's hard to know sometimes. But from my understanding, they were really involved in the draft process. And the Lakers have been a consistently good drafting team.
You brought that up, which is a really good point. Because I think about Max Christie. Right?
Max Christie.
Obviously.
Trading for Kuzma was a huge piece.
Kuzma was huge in the draft. I can't believe I can't think of the other guys. Oh, Dalton Knecht, right?
Knecht has been a great pick.
And throughout the years.
Caruso was a free agent signing. But
I mean, still.
Brought in from the G League. Yeah, but, same with Reeves, was an undrafted free agent.
Yes, but just a good point that you brought up to that.
Just our scouting team seemed to be pretty good consistently. So I'm a little upset that those were the two that got fired, but reportedly two of the five Buss family members voted against the sale of the team. So take your pick at who the two were. I do think overall, you know, the transition to Mark Walter taking over completely, I think it will be good. I think it's going to go smooth. He already has, you know, great history in LA with the Dodgers, great success. So I think things are going to change. That's just how ownership changes goes. I mean, you're already seeing it with Joey and Jesse being fired. But
do you think that leads to a change with Rob too? Because I'm hearing rumblings that maybe he might as well clean house completely.
Rob is definitely on the hot seat.
I think so too.
You know, again, he's a legacy guy. You know, he's Kobe's guy. So that gives him even further legacy ties before his actual position with the team. He was hired by Genie. Obviously, probably relationships, friendships within the front office. So, you know, the Rambuses, I'm sure he knows them pretty well too, who are still involved with the executive level of the Lakers.
Yeah, Kurt and his wife are both, his wife too is in the organization too, right?
They're probably going to be moving on soon. I mean, they're in their 70s, so, you know, or 60s. They're probably the next candidate, I would guess.
Right.
But we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Pelinka gets moved. Like I said, I think he's done a pretty good job, you know. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's hard to think that there won't be some type of at least effort for success with Mark Walters. And I mean, you look at the Guggenheim group and what they've done with the Dodgers. To think that they wouldn't at least try to do that with the Lakers, it would kind of be weird to think about. So I mean, I think that the success will transfer over. Maybe it'll take a year or two just to put kind of like the team together contract wise and all that stuff, but I think it was a good move. Maybe to us Laker fans who are diehard for so long, like seeing kind of the old regime leave is kind of sad in a way, right? But also needs to be done.
I think if anything, it's going to be more of a challenge, you know, maybe in a fun way.
Maybe money-wise?
Money-wise, the cap, the salary rules in versus MLB and NBA are just way different.
Yeah.
Much more strict than the NBA. You can only spend, you know, X amount, so you have to be really savvy.
Yeah.
And then even just the way, you know, prospects work in the MLB is way different. You just, like, you never know which guy is going to pop, you know? Like,
right.
So if you can have a guy like Friedman, and obviously the scouting team with the Dodgers that can find these players that are going to pop, that sways things in your direction. Where the NBA is different, you kind of know if a guy is going to be in the NBA from, like, high school at this point, you know? So it's just different. It's just, you know, it's about finding those Max Christies, like we talked about, the Kuzmas later in the draft, where the Lakers will hopefully be drafting if they have good seasons. So, yeah, I mean, change is coming. More change is going to just keep coming. I'm sure this upcoming offseason we're going to see a lot of movement within the Lakers organization. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
I wanted to transition to the WNBA a little bit and give a shout out to the Las Vegas Aces, who
in the time we were
gone, they won their third championship. Is this also Asia's third, or is this her second?
Third.
So
yeah.
She's
the catalyst. Right. Yeah.
So they won 22, 23, 25. That's a dynasty, I think.
Oh yeah, they are.
And to think, the beginning of their season was not the best. Remember, they were like, they had a losing record. I think Asia got injured at one point.
Yeah, she was injured, losing record. This was their first year since they traded Kelsey Plum.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other moves they made over the offseason, too, were like, Asia's still Asia, but, like, who knows, you know? But, man, Asia Wilson is just, she's just a beast, man. She's just ridiculous.
Super good. I mean, obviously, they one of the best, if not the best player. How many MVPs does she have now?
I believe she earned her fourth MVP this year, if I'm not mistaken.
She is the Ohtani of
2020, 22, and then back to back this year and the year before. God.
I mean, so, how do you not give it to her?
And she was pissed when Brianna Stewart won it in 23. I remember that being like, you really gonna give it to her over me? And now she's proved oh, maybe I should not have done that.
But also, you know, from Stewie fans, like, I mean, you could have gotten
Stewie. I think Stewie earned it for sure.
And I love Brianna Stewart as a player. She's great. She's more than deserving for sure.
I mean, just crazy what Asia Wilson's been doing with the Aces, man. It's just like, just not fair. She's just on another level of existence out there, man.
Yeah.
I think she is already in that GOAT talk.
Right.
And obviously got more to come. So
I just want to give Las Vegas their flowers too with these two teams that are very recent, really, created, like the Aces and the Knights. Both have won championships since they started, maybe what, less than 10 years ago.
And how about them Raiders?
Like I said, the Vegas Knights and the Aces have been very good.
the Aces were the Spurs sister franchise at one point. Mm-hmm. They were in San Antonio. I think they were I thought they were the Stars, but I think that's Dallas? Mm-hmm. No, the Dallas Wings. The Dallas Stars, I think, are the NHL team.
Yes.
I think they were Wings the San Antonio Stars at one point in the Aces history. And then Mark, what's his name? Mark, I want to say Walter now, but that's not right.
Is it owner?
The Raiders owner.
Oh, what's his name? I forgot his name. But I know, funny haircut.
Yes, yeah. Goofiest haircut. Yeah. That's how you know you're rich, when you walk around with hair like that, and people are still like, oh my God, it's so good to see you.
You look great.
Not only did the Aces win, but they brought out the broom against the Phoenix Mercury. Yeah, that was not a good series. And honestly, their toughest competition, I think, was that series against the Mark Davis. Was the Lynx in the series before.
Yes.
That series was nice, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, may have been a little different if
Lynx are a good team, too. Probably the second best team, right?
I think people had them as the favorites, man. They had a great year. I really think that I think Nafisa Collier got hurt.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Against the Mercury. Sorry, the Mercury played the Lynx, not the Aces. Who knows, you know? That could have been interesting.
Yeah.
Well, what else you got?
I wanted to go over kind of just a little bit of the Mavericks situation, too.
You want to do surprising good teams, surprising bad teams? Because I would put Mavericks in the surprising bad
okay, let's do that. Let's do that. Okay, surprise. We want to talk about...
We can start with them, though. They surprised me at... Oops, hit my mic. They surprised me at how bad the season has
they
been so
look
far,
awful.
Dude. They have a couple surprising facts, as
yes.
a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Flagg,
yeah,
as of like game, I think 10, mm-hmm. played more minutes than Anthony Davis has in his Mavericks career.
Yep.
That's not good. And then now he has played more games. I think AD has only played in 14 games for the Mavs since he got traded in February, man.
Ouch.
That's like almost 10 months of... That's
again, we love AD, what he's done for LA, but he's also came into the season at his most heaviest.
Yeah.
Which, to me, can't be good in terms of, you know...
Not for AD, no.
His body and injury-wise. And then, you know, the whole team not playing. Kyrie hasn't played.
No. They're hopeful that Kyrie can come back, which is crazy because he busted his knee, right?
Pretty late.
Yeah, pretty late
ACL.
Last year.
Derek Lively also hasn't played. And they lost, obviously, Tim Hardaway, who's on the Nuggets now.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you know, great coaching staff. I mean, we love Jason Kidd, but they are one.
I don't know about that.
But it's not like the Nico Harrison plan.
Oh, yeah. Bye-bye, Nico.
Who's also just got fired. That happened as well. It seems like they're transitioning from that very quickly.
And that, I think that's the rumor, right? Is like, you know, they kind of were letting things simmer to see if Nico was right and that AD could be the guy. AD's injured again.
Yeah.
Apparently his medical personnel, Anthony Davis's medical personnel, is saying he's good to go. But the Mavericks ownership is worried about, because it's a calf strain.
For longer.
That he could tear his Achilles or something. So they're being cautious with him. But then what people are thinking now that, okay, they fired Nico, essentially admitting that the trade was a bad trade. And now they're thinking they're withholding AD from playing,
mm-hmm.
so that his trade value doesn't drop any lower than it may already be, so they can trade him and, like, just blow it up.
But do you think that's a cop-out, though, to say that? Because I would like to be careful with AD too. I heard that he can go already. But
he thinks he can.
But the Mavericks are being a little extra cautious. So do you think that's a kind of a cop-out that you know, the media can make a narrative of around, like, oh, see, they're just saving him for trade value? Oh, I'm not saying it's not.
I don't think that's 100% the case. I think you're probably hoping that you could scoop by, you know, until Kyrie came back and the AD's healthy with just Clay and Flag. But obviously not working very well.
I'd like to think, too, that they kind of want to...
They're 5-13.
They're
at the bottom of the West.
Yikes. So, I'd like to think, too, that they want to put
almost the bottom.
Tanking at the bottom of their priority, right? And maybe still go along with the guys they have, but...
Yeah, let's see. I think they own their pick. And, I mean, this draft class coming up is supposed to be ridiculous.
Dude.
You know, the Boozer twins.
DeBanta.
Yes, from BYU. Dallas owns their first round pick this year, so I mean they got some stiff competition in the tank
but,
dude.
But also
the Zards holding it down, baby.
But also, if, you know, tangent a little bit, if the Clippers, right, are bad, what is it their pick goes to the Thunder this year, right?
The Clippers?
Yeah.
Probably. The Thunder have everyone's pick. Yeah.
They have everyone's pick every year.
Get this, dude. Okay. One of my favorite websites for you NBA nerds, tankathon.com. It essentially reverses the standings, and the worst teams are at the top because they have the best chance of getting the number one pick. But it also shows you which teams their picks are being sent away.
Cool.
Yeah. So, for example, God, some of these trades that teams made. The Pelicans, who are 2-15, we'll talk about them in a little bit. Their pick is owned by Atlanta. So even they shouldn't be tanking. They don't want to tank, and they're 2-15.
Dude. Oh, whoa.
The Clippers, to your point, another team we'll talk about in a little bit. Their pick is owned by the Thunder. The Jazz, who are also only 5-11, their pick is owned by the Thunder. The Thunder are...
Well, we'll get to them as well.
They're rich.
They
man.
Are on a stupid roll that we haven't really seen in a
with
while.
With no J-Dub.
And no J-Dub. But oh, no, they have J-Dub, but they don't have J-Dub.
Oh, they have... So, no, you're confused. They have Jalen Williams, but Jalen Williams is not playing.
We are officially back. Yeah, and they're doing all this without, you know, one of their main guys. Steamrolling players. SGA hasn't even played in the fourth quarter in 11 games.
Oh, that's nasty. That's ridiculous.
But again, we'll get back to the Thunder. So yeah, it's, I mean, for the Mavericks, I don't know if you blow it up or kind of go along with this the rest of this season. But again, we'll kind of see.
Here's the thing, right? AD is very injury prone. We all knew that when the trade happened. We knew it before. I do like you said. You know, we are big AD fans. I feel like. First year in LA was pretty good, got the championship. Second year, he was injured a lot. He only played like 39 games or something. And then same with the third year, he only played like 50. But after that, the next 2 years, he was looking solid. Like he looked healthy. He was showing up in the playoffs.
Could have been a defensive player of the year.
I was very happy with, yes, he should have been, I think, that one last or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. He is going to be... turning 33 in March. So, I mean, I wouldn't say he's at the end of his career. No. You know, he's probably can play until 37, 35.
One contract left, maybe.
Yeah, I think one big contract left. So I think the Mavericks, you can see a good team in there, you know. It's just about digging them out right now.
Yeah.
You need Kyrie. D'Lo is just not the answer. He does not fit on this team at all. And you need Clay to be Clay, but for Clay to be Clay, he needs a Kyrie. He needs a Steph. He needs that guy. So I think if you hold on to AD, if you're the Mavericks, you can make it out okay, you know, but maybe you don't want to. Who knows how long AD is actually going to be out. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he was back somewhat soon, you know, Christmas time. But we'll see.
Switching over from the surprisingly bad to surprisingly good. I wanted to talk about the Pistons.
Pistons, man.
Wow.
That was, I remember when we were doing like our preview of the East, we're like, well, the East is trash. Like, and we kind of forgot about them. I think we briefly mentioned them. Like, well, the Pistons have a pretty good run.
They said we could make them noise a little
bit. This is the year for them. This is the year where, you know, it's open for them.
Right.
You know, it's super, super open for them. So, first in the East, 14-2. The Raptors are 12-5 somehow.
They're awesome too.
The teams that we were thinking, you know, the Knicks, they're struggling, 9-6. Mm-hmm. Philly, we didn't really think they were going to do well. 9-7. The Magic, we thought they were going to be much better than they have been.
They went down.
Even especially with Desmond Bane, I thought that would be helping them, but he hasn't really been a great fit there either. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, even the Cavs, the Cavs are really good, but 12-6, like I think in that East, you just kind of thought they would be even better than that.
Yep.
But yeah, the Pistons, man, they are rolling. They have not lost since October 27th.
I mean, Jalen Duren took a step forward, I think.
Yes.
He's a wall. Like, you cannot move that guy.
No.
Who's the other guy I was thinking of on that team? Asar Thompson is like, you know what? My brother isn't the only good Thompson, you know?
No.
So he's killing it, too.
Tobias Harris has been really good for them.
Tobias has been like the perfect veteran for them.
Duncan Robinson shooting 44% from three. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you need. He's only scoring 12 a game, but that you don't need more than that from him.
Taking advantage of an injured East, right? Like, get these wins in now. You know, do what you can, and then throughout the season, you know, rest of your guys, whatever. But a fairly young team too. Who's their young team? Who's their coach?
I actually don't know who their coach is. JB Bickerstaff. That's
Bickerstaff.
Who
it is. Oh,
I
could picture
him. I couldn't think of the name.
Been in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
Coached the Rockets a little bit.
Briefly.
I mean, surprising to me. I knew they were going to be a good team. I was going to say maybe around the 4, 5, 6 range.
Yeah, exactly.
Also still early. I mean, we're not even 20 games into the season, but really, really cool to see. Pistons being good, and then the playoffs is kind of a good thing for basketball too. So
I mean, to come off that season of 2 years ago, I think they had 28 losses in a row.
Yeah,
I think. I mean,
awful
to be able to turn it around in that much time. Like,
yeah,
crazy.
They drafted well too. You know.
Yeah, they've had a great draft. Jaden Ivey has only played one game, so that can be another interesting piece for them.
Big point guard for them.
So. They're exciting, man. That series against New York in the playoffs last year was so exciting.
Yeah.
Even though they lost, and we made a video about they still haven't won at home in the playoffs mm-hmm. since like 07.
Yeah.
Something like that. So they're due, but this is the year. They can make
they're gonna make some noise.
They can make a magical run this year for sure.
Yeah.
But they're already kind of the favorites in the East at this point, and so come playoff time, Giannis is going to have his sights set on them. Knicks are going to have their sights set on them. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be targets. They're not going to have that underdog Pacers run from last year of like, where did these guys even come from?
Mm-hmm. Experience-wise, too, they're going to be fairly new.
Yeah.
So,
but
we'll see.
We'll see, man. They're nice. Cade is the guy, man. He is.
We didn't even talk about him. He's having an amazing season as well.
Almost averaging a double-double, 27 points, 9.9 assists. Shooting 44%, which is fine, not too terrible. He looks good, man. They look just locked in, man. They know where each other's going to be on the floor. A lot mm-hmm. of these guys have spent time together, just not winning.
Right.
Jalen Duren's been there. This is his third, fourth season,
mm-hmm.
maybe fifth even. Fourth season. Like, they've been there. They know mm-hmm. what to do.
Exactly, and they're riding the wave right now. Tough, it's one of those tough teams that you kind of like to see. Switching back over to bad.
Yes.
Clippers.
Clippers are bad.
I want to start with some of the moves they made. Like, I think the letting... Or was it a trade? No, they let Norman Powell walk, right?
They traded Norman Powell to free up some room.
A terrible decision because he was, if not their best scorer last season, and now he is on the Heat, and the Heat are actually pretty good this season.
So I just saw a stat the other day that in the last like 20 or maybe since their inception of a franchise, they scored 140, I think 4 or 5 times mm-hmm. or more. And then this last week, they've scored 144 times.
Oh, wow.
They are rolling on offense, which I think people didn't really, I didn't think that. I thought they'd be a defensive team, but Norm Powell is averaging 25 a game. That's a career high for him.
Mm-hmm. Killing it. And they lost Duncan Robinson, right?
Duncan Robinson. Caleb Martin's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or whichever Martin brother it was that was there.
Shout out to Spoelstra for getting those guys. He always gets his team to show up, man. I think he doesn't get enough credit for that.
Never won Coach of the Year.
I know.
Eric Spoelstra.
Wild.
But
I brought up that trade just because, the Norman Powell trade to the Heat. They traded Shea away. Right. They traded and all those picks for Paul George. I just think like the decisions they've made the last couple of years.
They've been planting trees for Kawhi. I don't think we've been back since the Kawhi story.
We haven't even talked about that.
That's a whole podcast.
Episode. Yeah, yeah.
I mean the Clippers, they have made some bad moves. The Norm Powell move was to bring in John Collins, a little more size. I think that's fine. Norm Powell, obviously. I mean, you're looking like, oh, we shouldn't trade Norm Powell.
Mm-hmm.
But John Collins has been, he's been fine.
Average.
He's been maybe a little below average for him even. Only mm-hmm. averaging 5 rebounds, which I think that's what they were really looking for, was a big rebounding presence. Obviously, Chris Paul, that's kind of just been like a, that's a retirement tour.
Yeah.
It's like a nice, sentimental move to make to bring him back for his last season. He hasn't been a contributor, I would say, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple good games in the last couple games. He's mm-hmm. been playing more, but he had a couple of DMPs in there, too. So,
yeah.
Brook Lopez was another big addition for them this year, but he has he's only playing like 15 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been fine. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it comes down to the same thing every single
year. Every year, bro.
Every single year. Kawhi Leonard has played in less than half of their games this year.
He's missed his 11th straight game with the ankle injury, and I think he has something else. I forgot what it was. But real quick, though.
Yes.
Before we continue, is CP3 more of a Clipper, Rocket, or Hornet to you?
He's a Clipper. Those were his best
Lob
years.
Lob City was the best, I think.
Those were special times for that franchise, and he was the face of it, in my opinion, more than Blake.
I just like that.
His best years were on those Hornets teams, maybe, though. Man, that CP3 Hornets was nasty. Steals leader, assist leader, like 3 years in a row or something like that.
And then Tyson Chandler, he ate a lot in those 3 years.
Tyson Chandler, David West, Asia Stojakovic that 1 year.
That team was wild.
That team was ridiculous, man. And then Kobe yammed all over Ariza.
Yeah.
The year after
he yammed over Emeka Okafor.
Yes,
on that Okafor. That was so nasty. That was when they gave us problems and we got knocked. That was after
we lost the Celtics next season, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or next series.
But one more good team, one more surprisingly good team.
Kawhi did play, just for the record. He did play in only 26 minutes last night, actually.
Oh, so he's finally back.
In a loss against the Cavs, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists.
Okay.
4 turnovers and 4 fouls, so a little, you know.
He's making his way back.
Yeah, okay. Gotta get back. One more good team you were saying, though?
Yeah.
Surprise good?
Surprise good.
Who you got?
Rockets, but they're not surprisingly good.
I would say the Raptors, but I honestly have no clue what's going on with them. I don't know how they're winning. I don't know who's doing it.
Well, Brandon Ingram is killing it for them. He's dunking on people, doing what he usually does.
Would you say the Spurs at 11-5 are a surprise? Especially given they've won 3 out of their last 5, given that Wemby, Harper, and Castle have all been hurt.
I'm gonna say no, because I think, we all have expectations for Victor Wembanyama. I think
that guy can stay healthy.
Right. I think it kind of went down a little bit that in the MVP rankings, which doesn't really matter, but he's such a huge piece to that team.
He is that team.
Their success goes through him in his progress. I love Dylan Harper
as a player. Harper was looking good. I wish he didn't get injured.
He looks great. Stephon Castle is one of my favorite young players.
I wish he didn't get injured.
Also hurt. Their coach looks like he's more than capable of filling Popovich's spot.
Yeah, he's fiery. I like him.
Yeah, and I like that. So I think, that's a team I think that's definitely up and coming to look out for. So I'm with the personnel they have, not really surprised. In fact, I can see them being a little better too as the season goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I think if they can get healthy, the Spurs could make some like real deal noise.
Yeah.
I still think Thunder are not surprising, but 17-1 without Jalen Williams is ridiculous. So I don't think anyone is coming out of the West besides them. I think they are just on a different year than everybody, man. And to our point about the Pistons of like, well, these guys have played together, like they're really clicked into each other. The Thunder take that to a whole new level, man. I mean, these guys have been playing together for years, and now it's just like the skill of everybody has jumped to a point where they are almost unbeatable. Their only losses to the Trailblazers, who had a weirdly hot start to the season and have tapered off since then.
I mean,
just the Thunder are just maybe a surprise that they're this good, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're on a legendary pace right now, man. They could make some crazy, crazy noise.
Yeah, no, definitely a surprise team that's good, but because you didn't expect them to be this good.
No.
But before we get into some kickaroos, how about Steph Curry's kickaroos?
Oh, you want to talk about the chef's shoes?
He is not under the armor anymore.
There is no armor on that.
He's off armor.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So if you guys haven't heard,
shocking to
probably
me,
the biggest sneaker story of the year so far, even bigger than the the AE2 finally being released after a couple of years of waiting.
And there's already leaked images of the AE3.
Wow. Steph Curry has... the way the stories have been worded, it sounds like he asked to be released from his contract with Under Armour. Mm-hmm. There was some kind of deal struck, and just the language he's been using about how, like, they've been really a good partner over the years, but it's been time to change. And I've been hearing stories about how Under Armour is kind of failing. So kind of makes sense that he might want to be cut loose, but he has been cut loose. Mm-hmm. And has been wearing some crazy stuff.
Shoot.
He's officially a sneaker free agent. He did, for those of you guys in the know, he has been wearing, he has Curry brand, which is Under Armour. And he and Curry brand, all of the Curry brand logos, language, trademarks, everything is being removed from Under Armour. He's free. He is a free agent. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the biggest free agency since Kobe, at least. And that was, what, 22 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
He's been wearing some crazy stuff, man. For the most part, he is still wearing Curry brand shoes, which are Under Armour shoes, when he plays. But for warm-ups and tunnel fits, he's been breaking some stuff out. So we can take a look.
Definitely.
This was the first pair that I sent to you, and we were both tripping.
I mean, the whole world was.
Yeah, that he was wearing. First day, the day that this was announced, he's like, oh, we'll break out the Kobe's.
And what did I tell you? Doesn't it feel like he's like, man, I've been waiting. Doesn't it feel like he's been waiting to wear...
A little bit.
All this stuff that he has, you know?
I think we talked about a long time ago. I don't remember the theme of the episode. I think it was maybe just his shoes. He used to wear Hyperdunks. He was one of the Hyperdunks.
Nike guy.
Yeah, faces back in like college in his first few years. And then obviously he got this big deal. You've told the story of Nico Harrison
messing up the Nike deal.
That pitch to Steph, mm-hmm. Using KD's old pitch.
Yeah, and then putting Seth Curry instead of... What are you doing?
Classic Nico.
Come
at
on,
this
Nico.
Point. Man, the amount of times that guy has just been able to skate by being friends with Kobe, dude.
Seriously.
Yeah, he obviously has he favors Nike. He has not worn Nikes in a game, mm-hmm. since his free agency has begun. He's been mostly Curry brand, and he has worn this next shoe, which is Jimmy Butler's Li Ning shoe. He wore another colorway of this, too, for warm-ups. This is the Batman colorway, they're calling it. Interesting. I think he's worn this a couple games in a row now, so that's mm-hmm. kind of an interesting little... I mean, obviously...
I wonder if it's like support to the teammate, right?
I mean, he's kind of a free agent. I mean, Curry brand... He
yeah,
is a free
do
agent.
What you want.
Curry brand could be create a partnership with another brand. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Li Ning has been popping off for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Is Clay... No, Clay is... Is Clay Anta?
Anta.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, being with Jimmy, you know, there's a relationship there.
And then D-Wade. Yeah, D-Wade's the big guy.
Yes, D-Wade's the big guy. So that's interesting. I'm definitely curious to see what other shoes he'll break out on the court.
Mm-hmm.
He wore a pair of Shaq Gnosis in one of his tunnel fits.
Mm-hmm.
That was sick.
Pennies.
He wore the pennies, the phones. That was crazy.
Sick.
I couldn't find a ton of photos of those for some reason, but I did find these, which maybe were the craziest thing he's broken out. The Oregon, University of Oregon Jordan 3.
Isn't it just so weird seeing him
so
in other
weird,
stuff?
Dude.
I am not used to it at all.
Here's something that's kind of weird, too, is like, obviously, you know, the Jordan 3 to me, you're like, okay, I'm dripping. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to wear my drip.
And Oregon,
Steph doesn't
too.
Strike me as that guy.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's just Under Armour shoes. Under Armour doesn't give me, like, no one wears Under Armour for, like, drip, you know, as
right.
good of the shoes as they may be. So yeah, it's crazy to see him in a like super rare pair of Jordan 3s.
Yeah, and I'm not used to it. I'm getting obviously I'm still tripping out at every shoe he wears every time they have a game. Shout out to
it's made it super exciting.
Super exciting stuff. Something to look forward to see what's next,
yeah.
right? Shout out to my cousin Martin, who is a huge Golden State Warriors fan, and his opinion on the situation is kind of. Stuck out to me a little bit where he said that he never really followed and liked the whole Under Armour line. He said the shoes weren't, like, he bought two pairs of the shoes, of Steph's shoes, different models, and it was very underwhelming in terms of performance-wise. A lot of the stuff that he saw Steph wearing, you know, off the court in terms of Under Armour apparel and towards his line, they didn't put out as a product for people to buy. So he couldn't even buy the stuff that he really wanted. And overall, he said that most likely he feels that Under Armour messed up the whole tenure with Steph Curry, which is what led
it seemed like
to that Steph, to their breakup.
It seemed like Steph kind of carried the same sentiment that, like,
right? This is, you can not feel it.
That Under Armour as a brand too was just kind of letting him down. Like, we talked about it privately, that they had Joel Embiid, they had him when he was reigning MVP, and then that offseason after he won, he signed with Skechers. Like, they just were kind of not making the moves that probably someone who is going to be tied to them for life, if they played their cards right, would like to have seen. It is kind of a shame though, because I do feel like the last few Curry models have been nice.
Yeah,
and obviously the De'Aaron Fox shoe, the Curry brand Fox ones, and I think the twos are out now. They look almost identical though. Those were nice shoes, man. Like, I feel like that could have been something. And obviously now that's gonna be kind of up in limbo for De'Aaron Fox, because even though he was, again, under Armour, he was a Curry brand athlete. So now Curry brand's no longer with Under Armour. I'm not really sure how that's gonna shape up. I think he's gonna have to stick with Under Armour.
Yeah.
But
you know what I think is missing from the whole Under Armour Steph collaboration throughout the years is I think of Shea and what he did with his shoe. Yeah. And in terms of rollout
has not been there.
Obviously the design of it has a lot to do with it, which is why the fans have such a huge like they gravitate towards the shoe more. The way they rolled it out, he gave it out for free before it came out at these certain cool stores.
Yeah.
Right, he came up with all these cool different colorways. He catered to us, to the culture that of is really into fashion, because you know Shea is the most fashionable guy, arguably, in the league. So I think he got
Kyle Kuzma has some words for you.
I'm sure a lot of these guys, like Vanderbilt too. But he catered to a part of the culture that I don't think was even into basketball, because his shoe is being worn on the street now.
Yeah.
And that
they did that right. That's been probably the best release of the past year.
Right. And then, you know, Jordan has that. Nike has that with some of their models. I think that's missing with the Steph line. You know, like, you're not going to, like you said, you're not going to wear an Under Armour hoodie or shirt to the club or wherever you're going. You know what I mean? You're not going to wear his shoe out in public, or you know what I mean?
Which wasn't really, I mean, that's not Under Armour's brand, you know?
And it's not, but I think that's an element that a lot of the other brands have that is missing here.
A lifestyle.
You know what I'm saying? The lifestyle of it, yeah.
Where Under Armour almost exclusively is you're wearing it at the gym.
Right, or if you're, gym or basketball, if you're playing.
Even when we talked to Coach Gingerelli from Seton Hall, who has now changed schools, he was kind of not really complaining, but he was like, I have to wear Under Armour at school. I can't wear any of my other shoes that I have.
Right, yeah, see?
So it's like there is that stigma.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing, and I think that definitely played a part. I'm not saying it's the whole thing. If he was really happy where he was at, he would probably have signed some type of lifetime deal with them, right? Like what some of these other athletes like LeBron has, but that's just not the route they went, and just now we know what happened, right?
It's going to be interesting having him move forward. You know, with Kobe's free agency, it was the whole season because Adidas put, like, they're like, hey, we'll like release you from the contract, but you can't sign with another brand for another year. Like, you have to. It was like weird legal stuff that made it so Kobe couldn't sign a contract. It was obvious if you see what he wore. It was mostly Jordan, Nikes. He threw in some Reeboks in there.
He took advantage of it, though.
He did. Where Steph, he's shopping Curry brand. So, and as far as I can tell, there's not going to be like a moratorium period where he has to be a free agent per Under Armour's.
Yeah, he can sign any day now.
So I'm curious to see what's going to happen if he says, hey, I want to take Curry brand to Nike or Adidas. Like, I don't think he'll be able to bring any of his old models with him. You know, those are all Under Armour shoes. So it's going to be kind of like a full reset for Curry Brand. Who knows? Maybe he takes Curry Brand because, you know, they were doing a lot of golf stuff too. Maybe he just makes Curry Brand like a golf and lifestyle thing. And when he signs with another basketball shoe company, it's maybe Curry Brand won't do that. Maybe it'll just be he gets his signature line with Nike or Adidas or Jordan. You know, we'll see. It's exciting. It's very exciting to see where this is going to go.
I mean, all the rumors are pointing to him joining Nike. I think the world would break, the internet would break if that were to happen, because
Nike's
then you're thinking
roster of stars, man.
You're basically putting Steph and LeBron together, right? And
they have Team USA essentially at this
point. You have all of Team USA.
Tatum. You would have Steph, KD, LeBron.
KD, LeBron, Book. And then us, for what gets Luka. us sneakerheads excited is then you think of like, oh, maybe there's the Jordan 3 Curry colorway, right? Or Jordan 4, or even a LeBron Curry colorway or something. Yeah. Just like the possibilities, if he went to Nike, is what gets the sneakerheads going, and I think which is why there's an excitement for that there. But we'll see. Exciting to see what he's going to wear throughout these next few weeks too.
My dark horse pick is Reebok.
Yeah?
They've hit the reset button. They brought in Shaq and AI.
Killing it.
I think because they're not as big in the NBA sneaker game right now, they would be willing to say, hey, bring in Curry Brand. Like,
yeah.
It's Reebok. It's Curry Brand by Reebok.
Right.
Like, it's all going to be all your stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I think where Nike, like, they might not be, they're like, hey, man, like, you can't really do Curry Brand here. Like, there's no LeBron brand. Yeah. You know? So.
I agree with that.
That could be tough.
I think Reebok would have to make a really, really big push and allow that, maybe his model and brand to be part of it.
That would be my selling point if I was a Reebok exec. Yes. Like, hey, Curry Brand comes with you. You get to do what you want within Reebok.
Here's our designers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I agree with that totally. As opposed with Nike, like, hey, man, you want all these other models? We'll make colorways for you. We'll make
tough
a shoe. You don't need to bring we don't necessarily like that, which I feel like the style they would go to. We're not there
Sneak
yet.
Peek.
But which brings us to some shoes.
Some upcoming releases for shoes.
What are you wearing, sir?
I am happy to make my podcast debut after wearing these all October.
We also talked about it.
Halloween fit. Yeah, we did talk about getting these. My Shattered Backboards. I love them so much. This was my first grail after I discovered them. And they are not disappointing,
on
man.
On the feet.
They are butter, too.
Yes.
This, the toe box and all the black leather is ridiculous.
They're sweet, bro.
You're wearing your butteriest pair I feel like you have right now, too.
Yeah, this is the pair I've been wearing for the last 2 weeks.
At home, in the shower.
In the shower, you know, running, swimming. But the Better With Time Nigel Sylvester Jordan 1 Low. I can't think of a better... I'm a huge Jordan 1 Low fan, as you guys would know.
If you watch the podcast.
Probably the Jordan 1 Low with the best quality leathers on there. I can definitely see why he can beat them up and they still look good, just because I've been wearing them out almost every day and they're still in really good shape.
Yeah, they look great.
Minor creasing, so... Just, I love this shoe. It sucks because I want to wear my other stuff, but I'm like, man, it kind of goes with everything.
Nice. Yeah. It does go with everything, too.
Mm-hmm. And but we got some new releases for y'all.
Some new stuff. First up, we have the upcoming Jordan 4 Black Cat.
Yeah.
This shoe will never... the only thing I can think of with this shoe is when we were at Got Soul and you were interviewing people.
Yeah.
And one of the guys said this was his least or most disappointing shoe or least favorite, because he's like, it's just a black Jordan 4. Like,
yeah.
A triple black. So,
which is very interesting for him to say, because they, in 2006, which was the first release, nobody liked it. And if you watch our podcast, you know, kind of for me, and I don't really like all black.
No.
Shoes, all white shoes. I'd like to let you guys know, I feel like I'm growing.
Oh,
I do like these. Okay. I do like a lot of the all white shoes now, so I think I'm evolving as a sneakerhead / person, and I do like these a lot. It's the like real quick. It's the third time they're retroing these, or second time they're retroing them, but coming out for the third time. coming out November 28th on sneakers for $220.
That's coming up. Is that Thanksgiving Friday? Or I mean, the day after Thanksgiving?
Day after?
Yeah. Black Friday.
This is the Black Friday, Jordan's Black Friday purchase.
Because they're black.
Cat Friday.
Black Cat Friday.
Yes. Named after one of Jordan's nicknames, the Black Cat, because he's he moves.
Do you know who was bestowed by?
Who?
I do believe it was bestowed by Reggie Miller. I could be wrong, but yeah. I think it was a Reggie Miller special.
Yes. Comment down below if you guys know the truth. But what's it called? Nike Air heel tab, which everybody loves.
Yep.
On the back. Full family sizing on sneakers. There is one gripe on it that I've been seeing sneakerheads who have early release or early pairs. It is a squeaky shoe. And they've
interesting. That could be trouble. That could be a little frustrating, trouble. Yeah.
The lace, I can't keep forgetting what we call that, but the lace.
The eyelet or like the lace lock?
Lace lock it's rubber and it rubs against the nubuck, which causes the squeaky sound. And that, I have one squeaky shoe in my collection and I have to say it is pretty damn annoying.
That can drive you crazy.
It's yeah. drives me nuts. So I do really want this. I'm going to go for it, but I'm pretty scared about that in terms of the squeakiness.
They give me the vibes of all black Air Force Ones, but if you commit like robbery or like burglaries in Air Force Ones, this is like white collar crime. This is like
fraud.
Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Ponzi scheme, yeah. But I think it's a great shoe, just in, like goes with a lot of stuff. If you, you know, you like, a lot of people like to wear all black, right? Wear it to work, beat them up. They'll probably be in good shape still. So a good drop. A shoe that no one liked in 2006 up until the second drop, which is 2020. And in 2020, they went off. Like,
really?
Sold out everywhere. Went up to like $800, $700.
Holy cow.
So this is a shoe that a lot of people have kind of turned around, turned their opinion and are back to loving it. So
I got
to
say, in our year of Jordan 4s that we've had, probably my least favorite so far.
For sure.
The Cave Jordan 4s looked really nice. Mm-hmm. That was a pair where I was like...
Travis's?
yeah. Or like Undefeated.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
the Undefeated 4 voted the sneaker of the year. So
I mean, yeah.
Can't beat that.
But I mean, those Cave ones were like... Jordan was like, hey... They're not undefeated, but like they're pretty close.
change the shade one more time.
Those were nice though. Like I feel like I'd put those above these. So
yeah,
they're nice though. Yeah. MJ wore these, right? Didn't he wear a pair of black?
He wore the black pair, I think, once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very very exciting though. Like I said, good year for Jordan 4s.
Mm-hmm.
Rough year for your wallet.
Oh, big time.
next up here, I have got the newest Nike shoe. the Nike Book 2 which was just recently announced. Another kind of slow rollout, similar to like the AE2, where Book was wearing those Book 1s for like 2 years, I think.
Oh, he was riding that wave, bro.
Still
rocking them.
I think he finally laced these up. He laced up that orange Sunburst pair, which I'll put a picture of. I think he laces up a couple games ago, or maybe last night even. I like this pair. How do you feel about this? I think it's better than the Book 1. It looks more like a basketball shoe.
Okay. Definitely looks more like a basketball shoe. You're right.
Which, I mean, I don't know. The Book 1's never really got a lot of love, I feel like. And I really feel like he designed those to be like, hey, they're my basketball shoes, but you could wear them out on the street. And they have that vibe, but... they just never really seem to gain much traction, you know.
Yeah, I think the fact that we don't like them is kind of we think maybe a lot of people don't like them. But I mean, they have a kind of a big following. They've made so many different colorways. Like they're doing now, they're doing
kind of
the
crazy
Chuck
release.
Colorway, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a good first shoe for him. Just not something that we would necessarily buy, but. The second model, I saw the orange pair, and I was like, I don't really like that. It looks like a boot to me.
Yeah, it's got boot vibes. It looks really stiff compared to what
it
almost
stiff.
Any modern basketball shoe looks like.
Like
nowadays.
It's a lot. Yes, it looks like a lot of shoe. But when I saw the black pair, I was like, okay, growing on me a little bit more, and I like it a little bit more after that.
I like the details. I like that this is like a sunburst kind of mm-hmm. gradient, and then I like too. This is like again in line with the sun's, even the midsole and outsole being like kind of that translucent purple.
Yeah,
the sun's colors. So, you know, really paying homage to where I think I don't think Devin Booker is gonna go anywhere else. I think he's a Sun for life.
Oh no, he's a Sun for life. Definitely a Nike athlete for life, I think, too.
Yes.
He's another guy along with Shea who I think is really in touch with the culture right now and the people in terms of fashion and what the people and sneakerheads really like in terms of shoes, which is why we see these certain colorways.
But those to your I wanted to bring this up. Some of those colorways that are like, oh, this is paying homage to like the Volt 95s or you know whatever. Pick your legendary shoe. That because obviously D Book is a huge sneakerhead, the stuff he's wearing pays homage to all these great sneakers. But it's only his PEs. They don't release a lot of the cool pairs that are inspired by
that he's wearing.
Yeah,
I think it's about half
other shoes. So I think maybe they would have done better if they had just done more frequent releases with all the cool colorways and maybe just in smaller batches. You know,
yeah, just release all of them, but do like certain drops. Because
he's had some crazy stuff.
And people would love those.
The shattered backboard ones. I don't know if they released those.
Yeah.
Which maybe it competes with your actual shattered backboards, but I feel like it's still cool to be like, it would be cool if you were a collector to be like, I have the real one and I have the book. You know.
Oh no, for sure. And there's definitely money to be made there. But yeah, like I said, I think he's the perfect player for Nike to kind of release stuff like this. He's going to have his own apparel.
Yep.
I think he's having like sets made, like sweat sets.
Oh, yeah,
and, like cut off bottoms and like loose hoodies that he's coming out with. The designer that he linked up with for this is Ben Nithong Kome, who we've spoken about before, who's done Kyrie's, Asia Wilson's shoe, and, you know, obviously those are all iconic models. But yeah, I mean, just a good shoe. Obviously he focused on, he's just like Jordan and Pippen, who wanted to be closer to the floor, so that's why this, you see like the sole is how it is, and it's a bouncy cushion 3.0 midsole is what they're using with a lot of hints and inspiration from the Air Force One and the Nike Spiridon, which is a running shoe. Mm-hmm. So a good infusion of different ideas put into one shoe. He's a great NBA player that has good taste in shoes, for sure.
I would be curious to see, like, maybe once his career is done, if he still is, like, a Nike athlete. Like, I feel like he would be a good choice to, like, spearhead some kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, for like, sure. You see it already.
Brand, yeah. Maybe more than like a basketball shoe.
Yeah.
Like it seems like more his interest, really. Because even he had those cool Chevy Blazers that he released. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like he's really into the lifestyle shoes.
It reminds me of Russell Westbrook when he was on the Thunder still. He had all these shoes. They came out with a lifestyle shoe. They came out with lifestyle apparel for him. So it's kind of like the same thing. But I think with Book kind of being a little more of a star right now, and more of a spotlight on him, it's a little bit more catered to the people now.
Yeah. Any release info for these yet? I know they were just announced. So.
It's there's no price yet. I would imagine it's somewhere near the same pricing of the Book One, but Nike,
which is, I think, like 140.
Yeah, like 140, 160, I think. Yeah. And Book is, or Nike has released that it's coming out in January, just now.
Okay.
Not an exact date.
Nice.
But we will. You said he's wearing it already, right?
Yeah. Just laced it up for the first time. I think it got leaked like the day before, maybe teased, and then the next day when he wore it, it was announced earlier that day.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes peeled, man. Mm-hmm. January. You Phoenix fans.
That's right.
Alliteration.
Mm-hmm.
Last up, we've got a pair that I'm kind of interested with the release of this because it was kind of part of it already happened.
Yeah.
We've got part of the Stranger Things collection, the Stranger Things Air Force One, not Air Force One, Air Max One.
Air Max One,
collab here.
Super fire. I mean, me and you are huge Stranger Things fans.
Yes.
The show is coming out on the 26th, first four episodes.
Very exciting.
They're all like an hour and a half. I think one of them is like 2 hours. So you're basically getting four movies.
I meant to rewatch some of the show. I have not. And you have not? Running out of time.
Yeah, no, seriously. It's coming out on, what, Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch some recap videos. I think Thursday at midnight.
Yeah.
Or maybe Wednesday at midnight.
Wednesday at midnight, sorry. Yeah, and then yeah, I started watching season 4 just to kind of
continue. I might try and do season 4.
Yeah, I could get some episodes in. But they are coming out with a lot of shoes.
A crazy amount of shoes for this collab, which I do feel like Stranger Things has been like the biggest cultural phenomena of the Netflix era, you know, the streaming era.
I would say, for me at least, the best Netflix
probably
show.
Best Netflix show, yeah. I really love Stranger Things. I've rewatched the first 3 seasons, like, 3 times. Same. Every time the new season. Yeah, they're so good.
That first season is insane.
First season's good. The second season, I actually think, is the best season. Mm-hmm. Second season is so good.
Super good.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about these. All the shoes that are coming out are really cool. Mm-hmm. The Chucks. Ooh, I might have to get the Chucks.
How do you not, dude?
They're super fire.
They look so cool. There's a Chuck High. There's a Converse Weapon that's blue that's coming out.
Not a lot of Stranger Thing touches on that.
No, but
I think it's just a cool,
like, beat up
throwback to, like, it's a shoe from the 80s. That's when the Weapon was popping. That's when the show is set.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the bright blue. It's very 80s, but there's no... A lot of the shoes have cool Stranger Things touches.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, so this one, for example, there's not really a ton of Stranger Things branding on it, but you have on the tongue there, the upside down Nike logo. That's cool. It's also on the heel.
The heel.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, and then the Stranger Things on the tongue. Which is going to match the apparel that comes out. That says Stranger Nike, which is pretty dope. There's an LD1000 running shoe coming out as well as part of this collection.
The Nike Field General High.
Field General High.
Crazy. I've never seen the highs. I've only seen the lows of those.
It's kind of a crazy shoe.
I could kind of get behind it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's better suited. I think it maybe is a woman's shoe. They're selling it as a woman's shoe. I could... see it, you know, I see the vision.
Yeah,
not for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I like the Field General. It's just a little high on the ankle for me.
It's very high up.
And then the two Converse shoe models that are coming out. But every shoe will come out with a set of pins, just like the collection that dropped a few years ago. I have the Nike Cortez that also came with the pins. What's it called? And what was I gonna say? So not every shoe has a, like you said, not too many Stranger Things on it. The Dunk also came out.
The Dunk came out a couple weeks ago.
Which is by was itself. A hit.
Dude, I wish I hit on those.
Me too. I told him I was going for another shoe, which is why I didn't go for it. But they are on fire right now. They're like $300.
They're super awesome shoes.
Super like cracked leather and just kind of aged already.
Leaning into like the upside down, I think, like the actual like, these shoes are scary. Not just flipping stuff upside down. Mm-hmm. Like really leaning into the upside down as like a place.
Right. And just the cool thing, like we love the show and we love shoes, so if you're gonna combine those two together, I mean just explosion.
I mean, and to your point, like the Nike must know, because like this they're releasing I think 6 total pairs of shoes for this collection, which is the most they've done I think since we've been doing this podcast for one single collection.
Yeah, so, along with apparel too, so it's a big deal for them.
Super big deal.
And who's your favorite character in the show?
Steve is up there.
Steve
is hilarious. I really like Steve. I like Max a lot too.
Max is one of my favorites.
She's really great. She shined a lot last season.
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin.
Dustin's my favorite.
I'm not going to lie. Last season, Dustin didn't do it for me as much. Yeah. But the first 3 seasons, he's the funniest character, bar none.
Yeah, you fall in love with him out of all of them. Hopper, I think, is the funniest.
He's the funniest.
Along with, I forgot his name, the guy with the glasses.
The nerdy, the conspiracy theorist guy. Yeah. He's great.
I love that
he's
guy.
He's great, too. Those two interacting is very, very good.
Right. So yeah, these are coming out on December 4. You know, Christmas gift stuff, right?
Get it for me, guys.
On sneakers for, and this pair specifically is $180, which I think is a lot for an Air Max 1.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's a themed pair. So
you know what I wish they had done? Flip that the check upside, or at least on a pair. I don't think they did an upside down check. Except for in the logo.
Go full on upside down.
That would be sick.
Right? That would have been cool too. I would have loved a little more. Maybe like some aging. on the Air Max One. But yeah. But they did it on the Dunk. And
the Chuck has a couple Stranger Things items on it.
It's just beat up.
But outside of that, there's not really a ton, which I kind of think is cool. You know, yeah. It's like very subtle nods to the show, besides the apparel collection, obviously. But the shoes themselves have very subtle nods, which I think that works.
No, that's cool. I like it. So, yeah, keep a lookout for these.
But that is it for new releases, which means it is time for the grand return of the Coppity and the Droppity.
Oh, my bad.
Wow.
It's been a while. It's been a while. Copper Drop.
And we're doing a first for Copper Drop.
Oh.
Never been done before.
Yes. Okay.
Thanksgiving is coming up, so I wanted to get your thoughts on a little different kind of items.
Gobble, gobble. So,
Copper Drop.
Ooh.
Some Thanksgiving sides. We got the mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing head-to-head.
This not even a...
Oh.
It's not even a debate. Not even a little bit. Mashed potatoes and gravy, bro.
Oh.
You're a stuffing guy.
I'm a stuffing guy. I go crazy on stuffing.
Really? Interesting. Yes. What do you like in your... Like, what makes a good stuffing for you?
It's a little...
The bread.
The bread, I think, can kind of be any bread, really, as long as it's, like, really toasty, you know? Toasty on the around and then soft in the middle. Yes. If you put a little, like... chestnut or sausage in there?
You're crazy.
It's crazy.
You put chestnuts and sausage in.
I think I've had that once. I have not done that, but I've had it once, and it was. I think I just love the salty and savoriness of it.
Okay.
Oh man.
And are you
so good?
Are you the do you like it in the turkey? Or like I've seen it different ways where it's like served separate.
We always do it separately for like safety reasons. Yeah. Like, I've heard that...
Safety reasons?
I've heard that it won't get cooked. Like, so the turkey juices will drip onto the stuffing.
Which is not good.
And then, because it's so far inside the bird and, like, wet, it won't heat up properly to, like, a safe temperature. So you can get, like, salmonella from stuffing.
Like, it won't cook it up.
Even if the bird is cooked completely. So...
Let's keep it separate.
We're super split on this one, I guess, though, because I'm hardcore stuffing. I love mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah.
Like, KFC, gotta get the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Easy.
But... if they had stuffing, I would be like,
It's I'm just such a, like, I love mashed potatoes and gravy. Like, I could love mashed potatoes so much, I could eat it by itself, even without gravy. And I just love gravy a lot. Dude. And then you put them together, like, and then there's different types, right? Like, you know, Jollibee has a good gravy, right? And like you said, KFC's gravy and mashed potatoes is awesome, too. That's just the fast food ones, but.
Yeah. The real deal stuff is good.
You know.
So good.
When you make your own mashed potatoes, throw the butter in there, some chives.
Ugh, yes.
Garlic. Forget about it, dude. So, I mean, hey, at least they both got love.
Yeah. Oh, they got love.
But is this your favorite Thanksgiving item?
Probably.
Yeah, I would have to say for that for two. I mean, I love cranberries.
Right? The cranberry sauce on some turkey, that hits. Dude, Thanksgiving is like one of my favorite meals. everything about it. I'm hyped up. I'm getting hyped up right now.
I would love to take you to a Filipino Thanksgiving party one day because... Well, especially for my family, is we need to have the turkey and the Thanksgiving stuff.
Yeah,
but we also have the Filipino food.
Okay,
because everybody wants Filipino. So it's just like a table of too much food. Yeah. But hey, really, you don't ever disappoint on the Copper Drops, bro.
I was like Thanksgiving shoes. I was looking them up. I'm like, you know what?
There's none.
No,
they should do it. They should do some type of. I mean,
I saw some concepts when I was Googling. I'm like, well, I would actually be sick
instead of a. Instead of a swoosh, it's like a drumstick. It's a
drumstick,
the turkey. Or a wishbone, like.
Hey, when we get our Nike collab, the mashed potato and gravies, like mashed potato and gravy dunks are gonna hit. They're gonna smack.
I'll have the mashed potato gravy dunk, and then you'll have the Terminator stuffing. The stuffing Terminator.
Those would be awful. Those are not gonna sell. The mashed potato and gravy dunks. No, worst those collab are gonna hit.
Ever.
The stuffing termies are not selling. thank you for copping and dropping, though.
Thank you
just kind of switching it up. We'll have some shoes next episode. We'll have some real
shoes.
Please
don't be mad at us.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But now it is time for Heat on Feet. First up, Jalen Johnson. He is the current NBA Eastern Conference Player of the Week, although I believe that's due to change today. But last week, he was the Player of the Week. He has been crazy.
We've been talking about him. You heard it here first.
Yeah, you were talking about the Hawks looking good over the offseason. You swayed me, but I was like, I don't know. But this guy, man, this guy is just, he's, not come out of nowhere because he's been really good. Mm-hmm. But he has been, I think, better than people thought he was. And obviously, Trae Young has been out. You know, he's going to come back maybe mid-December, early December. Mm-hmm. But Jalen Johnson, without him, man, has just been on another plane of existence. 22 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, and 7 assists per game for the season, which is crazy. Also shooting. He's shooting 56% from the field as their de facto point guard, essentially.
Wow.
And since Trae Young has been out, he has been averaging 23 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 8 assists per game. Look so, like, that. A little bit higher, 1.7 steals per game. I mean, that team is just so lucky to have him to kind of help right the ship until Trae Young gets Daniels? Back. And, dude, the defense on that team, scary. Here's a closer look. He is wearing kind of a throwback pair. The Kyrie 7s.
One of my favorite Kyries.
Dude, these are maybe the best Kyries. They're so nice. I
love it.
I love the 2 straps. I love, like, the sawtooth there. All these details, man, are...
That's my favorite part.
So, yeah. So nice. Mm-hmm. This was from their most recent game against the Hornets a couple days ago. They beat out the Hornets 113-110. Jalen Johnson had 28 points. This stat line is ridiculous. Dude. 28 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 1 steal, no blocks, no turnovers, and no fouls. 11 for 22 from the field. What a game. Jesus. What a game. Con Knupple. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But
I love that guy. I love that guy.
He might be the Hornets' best player, man, because your Cooper's greatest ability is your availability, and LaMelo is not available.
No. Cooper's teammate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Con Knupple had 28 points and 6 rebounds on 9 of 17 shooting. He looks ready, man. He looks mm-hmm. He could make a difference on, like, a good team.
Yeah, for sure.
LaMelo has been dealing with injuries again. One of the many stars in the NBA that is injured at the moment. And he sat out last game for right ankle management. So, yeah, he's one of those guys that he's just got to get on the court. He just has mm-hmm. to get on the court and play and, you know, just mm-hmm. be able to do his thing. Because if you're not playing, you're not doing – what are you doing for me?
I mean, he could be one of the best young talents. He just needs to be out there.
Next up, we have early MVP favorite, okay. I would have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Nikola Jokerjic.
He's got a crazy, like, Wild West like facial hair thing going on.
He is on a different tip this year.
He don't give a damn right now.
He is wearing his same shoe, another signature shoe that stuck around for another year from 361 Degree Sports. This is the Jokic 1.
Oh, is that for the ring?
I think it's just a tag. I think his shoe has a special pocket on the tongue
built in for his
wedding ring, mm-hmm. Which is a very cool tradition that he does. It's got some kind of print here on, like, the body.
And it looks like it's under.
Yeah, right? I'm not really sure what it is. This is a PE. They have so many funny shoes with this models already from 361 Degrees. They had the Peppa Pig shoes, which were multicolored. Mm-hmm. That was very cool. And then they had the SpongeBob collection. SpongeBob. They had the SpongeBob, Patrick, and Squidward shoes, which are all still for sale right now. They've been continuing to produce those, which I think is cool, in full sizes. Interesting shoe. I do like this shoe. He's had a lot of crazy PEs that we've covered already. And a lot of them end up getting released, which I think is smart.
Smart.
He has just been, I mean... You know it. We all know it. He is not from this planet.
No. Nope.
I don't think. He's just... I just don't get it. I just don't get how every year there's, like, no... He doesn't disappoint at all.
No.
Like, he just can't... He can't disappoint you. He is averaging on this season already. 30 points per game. That's a career high. 13 rebounds per game. That would be his second most in his season. And 10.8 assists, which is also a career high. Shooting 62.8% from the field.
And he shoots threes.
And he's shooting 41% from three, almost 42, on 5 attempts per game.
Yeah.
That's not fair. That is not fair. Nope. Obviously, the Nuggets are doing really well.
And you called that. You said their offseason moves were maybe the best. and it's showing, bro. Honestly, they're all good.
It's not the off-season moves, though. It's Aaron Gordon, man. This dude all of a sudden is like, I'm an all-star, it turns out.
No, but Tim Hardaway and Bruce Bowen are doing what they came in.
Bruce Brown.
They came to do, you know?
Yeah, Hardaway is averaging double digits. That's what they needed off the bench. Yep. Cam Johnson, a little disappointing, only 9 points, only shooting 33% from downtown, so not great. And his volume is just not really there. Jokic is shooting more threes than him. That's not what you want. Gordon is shooting more threes than him. That's definitely not what you want. But yeah, this man is just on another... Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. He's got to win. At this, if you had to pick an MVP, it's him, sure.
As good as Shea and Luka has been, he has
Luka is up there.
He has to be. Joker has to be up there by himself.
I do think Luka actually could be an MVP favorite just because of the narrative, if the Lakers are doing really well.
Offensively, so. I think he's the most unstoppable right now.
Yeah, he looks ridiculous.
But we also got to bring up, you brought up Aaron Gordon, which is good because he's having an all-star season. But Jamal Murray is also having an all-star season.
They're clicking. But despite that, they did end up losing to the Kings in their last game.
The Kings?
Yeah. Their fourth win for the Kings on the season.
Of all teams.
And Sabonis was not playing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. In that game, though, 44 points for Joker, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, no steals, no blocks, only 2 turnovers, 4 fouls, 16 of 28 from the field. Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon did not play. Those are a couple big names for the Nuggets. So there's that. Jamal Murray, 23 points, 9 assists. Cam Johnson, 20 points. So he had a good game. And on the other end of that, I wanted to highlight one of the legends of the league in his 18th season, Mr. Russell Westbrook.
Those are crazy.
I know. I wanted to see. I don't know what these are. I wanted to see if you could tell me. Here's a closer look at these joints. No clue what those are.
I have no idea. It might be his shoe, or I don't know. Good question. Maybe Jordan 35 or something.
Look at those crazy socks too, like that bubble knitting almost or something.
But those are cool.
Brody has been having an interesting year, you know. Just a guy that just can't really find a great fit. Obviously, the Kings are not winning. This was their, like I said, only their fourth win. He's just not really contributing much.
The Kings are like a collection of old Bulls players and players that just didn't end up anywhere else.
They just don't really make sense to play together. Like,
yeah.
There's no shooting there except for LaVine and Keegan Murray, I guess.
You have three guys who need the ball a lot.
Who need the ball. Russ can obviously pass, but LaVine's not passing it. DeMar's not passing it.
Yeah.
Sabonis can pass, but like, it just doesn't... There's no cohesion there, man. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. Westbrook did have a really good game, though. 21 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, a steal, a block, 1 turnover only, 4 fouls on 9 of 16 shooting. Schroeder had 21 points off the bench, and Russ took Schroeder's starting job. Schroeder was supposed to be the starter when he got brought in to Sacramento, and then Russ kind of got brought in at the end of the offseason. And, you know, he's been doing well. And in his starting, he's only been starting for 6 games, and in those games it's been 12 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 3.5 turnovers on only 44% from the field. So, hasn't been blowing me away, you know? Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I feel like any of these guys could be trade candidates at this point.
This is a team that's definitely going to blow it up. And
just directionless. Just no direction besides Keegan Murray.
You gotta start fresh with this team, especially like the older vets will end up on teams that could be playoff teams. Like, I don't see... I already heard rumors of DeRozan going to the Clippers.
I just saw that one today.
I think you move... If you can move the contract of LaVine, which is so huge, I think you move them. Maybe even Sabonis somewhere, who could be a big piece.
Sabonis has had a good season. 17 points, 12 rebounds, 3.5 assists.
Yeah.
They just don't fit together. That's really... At the end of the day, I just don't see how this team is supposed to do... much of anything. I mean, obviously the record speaks for itself. 4 of 13, you know, they lost their last, what is this, 8? They were on an 8-game losing streak when they came into Denver and won.
Yeah.
Good revenge game for Russ, you know. Mm-hmm. He's been pretty upset with them that they stated they didn't want to bring him back. Mm-hmm. It's just...
I mean, I don't see... I guess the beam hasn't been lit, you know?
Not much lighting of the beam going on.
The button is, like, super dusty right now.
They are third, they're fourth from last. They shoot the fourth fewest threes, or they make the fourth fewest threes.
In a league that shoots threes.
And their percentage is second worst. Only the Pacers have a worse three-point shooting percentage. So, they're just a bunch of guys that shoot a ton of shots and don't make a bunch of shots, yeah. And especially threes.
Not a good recipe for success.
No, they're just, yeah, I don't know. They're midway in assists. That's not too bad. But then, you know, they don't really make that many turnovers, which is good, but it's just can't score.
Yeah, not a good collection of players. I think they're even thinking about moving Keon Ellis, right? Who's like one of their young point guards, who I like, I think, as a point guard, but
they give up the third most points in the league. Like, yeah, they're just not.
There's no defense.
Teams are shooting over 50% against them, which is the best in the league. They're down there with the Nets and the Pels. So
yikes.
They're just no defense.
Got to blow it up.
Bad shooting, yeah. I mean, blow it up to what, though? There's nothing left.
Well, Keon and Keegan, like you said.
I mean, yeah, you keep Keegan. Hold on to him. They own their pick, so that's good.
There you go.
You just hold on to him with all your might.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I got. That's all she wrote. We need someone ID these shoes for us, somebody.
Yeah.
Comment down below. We're rusty.
Rusty.
But that's all I got, yeah.
Thank you for that.
Good return.
That was actually a very good heel on feet for show. And before we go... The return of Stump.
Better be easy. I need a warm up.
It's pretty fun. This one's pretty good. I found some cool ones. I think you'll definitely get them. If you're with somebody at home, please feel free to play along.
Blind them. Earmuff them.
Time up.
Time out. Put them in timeout. His name state.
Steph Curry holds the record for most consecutive threes in a game with 268 games with a three-pointer. Ridiculous. Who are the two after him?
Klay Thompson.
No.
Oh, oh boy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's someone... Is it Malik Beasley?
No.
Duncan Robinson.
No. One of them is like a star, and the other guy is like a big time role player from early 2000s.
Kyle Korver.
He is third.
Okay.
With 127 games in a row. Who's second?
Harden.
No.
Good guess. It's not Harden.
Good guess. Oof. He's currently
Dame.
Very good.
There we go. I was like, it's got to be one of these 3-point shooter guys.
Yeah. 150 games. For Dame, and then Kyle Korver, 127. Okay, next one. This is a great one. I'm very proud of this one.
All right.
The NBA team that changed their name the most throughout this years.
That's interesting. Changed their name the most?
Yeah.
It's not the Lakers. It's not the Pistons. Definitely not the Celtics. It's not the Knicks. The Kings?
That's a good guess.
They were like the Royals. At one point, and then I think there were even something before that.
Yeah.
The Clippers were the Braves at one point.
But and they were from another city.
Yeah, but that, I guess, doesn't really count. The Wizards?
Very good.
They got to be up there, right?
Because
they
were the...
Who were they?
They
were the Bullets?
They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 names total changed. So they were originally the Chicago Packers.
Okay.
Chicago Zephyrs, which is why you see the Zephyr jerseys back in the day. Baltimore Bullets, the Capitol Bullets, the Washington Bullets, and now the Washington Wizards.
Crazy.
Interesting. I did not
super crazy know any of that. Them Zards.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about championships and parades earlier. Who was the NBA team that had the first ever NBA championship parade?
Ooh. Celtics.
No.
Lakers.
The Lakers.
Okay, I was like, gotta be one of the two.
Yeah.
They own like half the championships in the league.
That's true. And I felt like that was kind of easy, but I thought it was really interesting because the first parade ever, and it was in 1950, and it was also...
Really? It was that long ago?
Yeah, wow. Crazy. And also, that was the first team to win a back-to-back championship in the NBA ever.
George Mikan. Look him up, kids.
Dude, the first
back in my awesome day when I could watch George Mikan.
George Michael?
George Michael. He would carelessly whisper Whammo. Into my ear.
Nice.
Stupid.
But that's pretty good. You got him.
Yeah, those nice. Were, those weren't too hard.
Also, pretty cool stats that I think we don't normally talk about. So
yes,
the Whitman, first parade ever. Pretty cool.
That's pretty crazy.
That it was in L.A.
Yes. You know. Well, Minneapolis.
Well, shoot, you're right. It was in Minneapolis.
They're all freezing.
Everyone's like in fur coats June. And stuff.
It was fine.
It's like 10 people.
Basketball. But, what's basketball?
But it feels great to be back, bro.
Yeah, I was super excited for this. I'm excited for the next one, so stay tuned.
Yes, we will. We are going to do our best to pump these out for you guys. Holidays are here. Please check out our Halloween Horror Nights video on our YouTube channel.
Yes, it's that great. Just looked like a lot of fun.
That was our first vlog ever. We will also be at Survivor Series in San Diego this Thanksgiving weekend. So look out for lots of cool content coming up this next week. And we will see you next time on the Flippity Floppity.
I was mimicking you the whole time.
I'm like, I know. I
got this.
I got messed up too. I was like, what am I going to say?
What is he saying? Is he saying something?